In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So the second Sunday in a row, the church reminds us that the model for the spiritual journey of Lent, really of life, of your life, is not the religious person, but is the repentant person, the person who returns to Christ. Last Sunday, it was the tax collector and the Pharisee, and the tax collector was raised as our model of the spiritual life. Today, it's the parable of the prodigal son, in which the repentant son is shown as our model of the spiritual life. It's almost as if the church is trying to tell us something. You know, a lot of attention has been paid over the centuries to the younger son who goes astray and returns because he is our model. He is the subject of most of the commentary, most of the liturgical hymns, most of the preaching, because he is the one that Christ gives us as who we are to emulate. But if we look at the context in which Jesus told the story, we realize that the point of the parable, its sharp edge, is really the older son. The supposedly obedient one is actually the Lord's primary lesson in context. The setting is like this. Jesus is having some kind of dinner with a group of sinners, tax collectors and harlots, your thieves, your down and out. Jesus is having dinner with these people, has received them. This is when he tells the story. This dinner is going on. And some Pharisees, some scribes, the most religious of the religious, happen to come by this dinner. And when these religious folks see what's going on, they mumble. Look at this prophet, they say. This man receives sinners and even eats with them, they say. So in response, Jesus tells three stories, the third and longest of which is the prodigal son story we read today. And in the story, the younger son represents the tax collectors and the harlots who repent, the people Jesus is having dinner with, while the supposedly obedient older son represents the religious elite, the religious separatists. And it's the older son who is by far more in danger of condemnation than the tax collectors and the harlots. I mean, the sinners know their sin, and they know they need to repent, and therefore are far more likely to repent. And that's what leads to the older son's problems, which are the same as the Pharisees' problems. And if we're honest, it's sometimes the same problems that we ourselves deal with. So the three big problems with the older son, let's look at today. His three big problems. First, he's not self-aware. Now listen to what he says when his father comes out and pleads with him to come into the house, into the party. The son says, I have served you for many years. And in that period, he says, I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. Really? Really? In all your life, I mean, that's quite a life to lead. You have never transgressed his commandment at any time? This is a person obviously in delusion. I mean, he's so wrapped up in himself, so proud of his supposed accomplishments, he has lost all self-awareness. I mean, he's breaking a commandment even as he's speaking. He's breaking a commandment at that very moment by judging his brother and by not forgiving him. As he says, I've never transgressed a commandment, he's transgressing a commandment. And when you're not self-aware, you can't be repentant. If I don't recognize my own sins, I not only fail to repent of them, but then I become self-righteous, I become judgmental, and I lose all mercy for my neighbor. So if the older son's first big problem was that he's not self-aware, his second big problem is that he's ungrateful. He has no gratitude. Right after he makes this dubious claim that he's never transgressed a single commandment of his father at any time, never done anything wrong, he immediately follows with, you've never given me a feast with which to entertain my friends. He sounds like me when I was a kid. You know, I never do anything wrong and you never give me nothing. You know, that's the story of my childhood. But it's more than just whiny and irritating. This is a form of spiritual delusion. How short his memory. The story started with, it says, the father divided his inheritance and gave them to his two sons. He already received his inheritance at the beginning of the story, and yet a couple paragraphs later he's saying, you never give me anything. The father's response is perfect. He simply says, actually, I've given you everything. No rebuke, just a simple correction. Son, think about it. I've actually given you everything. And the contrast between the father's infinite generosity to the son's complete lack of gratitude is striking. To not appreciate his own blessings. And if we're willing to see that that lack of gratitude in ourselves when we get that way, it should be both heartbreaking and a little bit embarrassing. We'll take a look at one more of the older son's problems, and then we will find the good news here. So his first two big problems are that he's not the slightest bit self-aware and that he's not the slightest bit grateful. His third and biggest problem is that he is unloving. After he tells his father, I've never done anything wrong, and you never give me anything, listen to what he says about his brother. He says, as soon as this son of yours came home, this son of yours is a very telling way for someone to speak of their brother. This son of yours. Now, parents will word things like this jokingly to each other, right? One parent says to the other, your daughter fell in the creek today. You know, your son has a dirty diaper, right? We do that. But what makes it funny, what makes that a joke, is that we would never think of our most beloved in terms of your, not in real life. It's a joke when we say that. These are the people most precious to me. But in the parable, the brother is saying, this son of yours. Yeah, a total distancing from, a literal denial of his own brother. He's not mine, he's yours. And this illustrates how the religious Pharisees see these lesser sinners at the dinner that Christ is having. Not my brother, not my sister, but the contaminants of the world. And remember, the Pharisees are the one that Jesus is telling this story to in the first place. And it's a caution to us about how we see all people. We use the word brother in the parable, but it's not just our family. It's about how we see human beings, humanity. And this kind of thinking, he's not my brother, she's not my sister, has no place in the kingdom of heaven. Christ is clear about that. That's not how the Father thinks. That's not living in Christ. Jesus receives those who betray. Jesus receives those who sin. He dines with them. He calls them child, no matter how far they stray. So the older son's three big problems are these. He's not self-aware, he's ungrateful, and he's unloving. And if we have any spiritual maturity in us at all, we'll admit that at least occasionally we fall into all three of these traps. Maybe daily. So where's the good news I promised? Where's the cure? Well, the cure is Christ. The cure is in God. The cure is God who has come among us. The cure is to live in the heart of Christ in my day-to-day life. And the church is giving us this season of Great Lent precisely to cure these three ailments, that we might live in Christ. To cure our lack of self-awareness, the church provides us lots of opportunities for self-reflection and for repentance in Lent. You know, the hymns are about self-reflection. The prayers are repentance. There's increased worship. And most profound of all, of course, is that great mystery of confession, where we become as self-aware as possible before God, bearing our soul in the light of Christ. To cure our lack of gratitude, the church gives us story after story of God's love and mercy so that we can become thankful people. The Savior's grace and patience and ultimately his offering on the cross that we might have life. And of course, we are given additional opportunities during Lent to receive the body and blood of Christ, the Holy Eucharist, a term which literally means to be thankful or to be grateful. And finally, Great Lent gives us opportunities to be more loving. The church begs us to be more charitable to the poor, to reconcile wherever possible, to call sister, to call brother, even those that hate us. And quite dramatically, on Forgiveness Sunday, pushes us face to face, begging us to forgive even each other. So this path away from the life and the ways of the older son, they're provided. They're given to us. The church begs us to take these paths away from that life. And this path is the path of self-awareness, it's the path of gratitude, and it's the path of love, because indeed it is the path of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.